so this morning, I have a message that I wanted to call Healthy Things Grow. So yes, we are talking about relationships. I wanted to talk about relationships because we're, I would say, in the middle of it. February is a good month to talk about relationships, especially when it's cold, when everyone wants to go to Florida. You know what I'm talking about? It's good just to be encouraged in our everyday relationships. And also, I really believe, I'm just going to be talking 1 week on this, but I really believe the church needs to lead the way when it comes to unity. And yes, in marriages, but also in all relationships. Now, there are things in this message that are for everyone, whether you're single, you're married. I'm going to be talking to at this point, I'm going to be talking to married men. I'm going to be talking to married women. But I'm not trying to leave anyone out because God cares about relationships, all relationships. God made us, if you will, for relationship. We were made for a relationship with Christ, but for a relationship with others as well. So God made us for relationships. So this is friends, for family, for coworkers. And we all, if you will, need to do a better, we can all do a better job. We can all grow in getting along with our friends, our family, our coworkers, etc. And I hope that this message inspires you to really love the Lord and ask Him to lead the way in all of your relationships, all of our relationships. If it's not for you, I pray that you will glean from it. If you will, that you will eat the meat and spit out the bones. If it's not for you, you got it? So this is there's so much that I could go. There's so many directions I could go, but I'm just, it is what it is for one service. So we're going to dive right in, and we're going to receive with joy this morning. And again, this morning I wanted to talk about the foundation of healthy relationships. Healthy things grow. Here's a deep cosmic truth. I know it might blow you away that healthy things grow, right? God has woven His principle, if you will, into the fabric of creation. But the opposite is true as well. When a living thing becomes unhealthy, growth stops. And if you will, it even reverses. You can ask any gardener, any farmer, any farmers here this morning? And let's take a look at this vivid illustration, if you will, that Jesus gave in the parable of the soils. It's from Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9. And it says this. Then He told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, here, if you will, Jesus is metaphorically speaking of the human heart and how spiritual fruit-bearing nature of God's word, it tends to either prosper or it tends to decline. Depending, if you will, on the conditions of the soil, the conditions of our own heart, in which the seeds, which is the word of God, in which they fall. But Jesus has chosen this particular metaphor because it's universally understood that growth is connected to health. Peter, as well, in 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 2, had a clear health growth connection in his mind when he wrote this: as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So what about all of our relationships? And what about our friendships? What about our marriage? Of course, they keep growing. Any kingdom ruled by Jesus will be healthy. And healthy things grow. When we put God first, when we surround ourselves in the right atmospheres, healthy things will grow. Whether it's a church, a business, an organization, and yes, relationships, you can be confident that if you pursue health, that growth will be a naturally occurring, if you will, byproduct. One of my kids' favorite places to eat is a restaurant. You might have heard of it. It's mostly in the States. There's one in Kitchener right now called Chick-fil-A. Right, Josiah? Chick-fil-A. Anyone know Chick-fil-A? All right. I remember it's always stuck with me. About 15 years ago, I was listening to a podcast, and I remember hearing a story about the president of Chick-fil-A. He was meeting with all his top organizations and Chick-fil-A owners around the world. They're having a conference, and they're in this meeting, and everyone was coming with ideas. The room was busy with people talking about, we need to do this, and we can do this, and we can get bigger and bigger, and we can do this, and imagine if we did this. And all this talk was going on, and he was just observing the room, if you will. And he finally banged on the, got everyone's attention, and he said, before we get bigger, we need to get better. We're not going to concentrate on getting bigger. We're going to concentrate on getting better. If we get better, bigger will automatically come. And that was their strategy for success. I've seen many pastors and, if you will, business owners whose all-consuming focus on is growth, growth, and more growth. And people want growth, right? Organizational health is a goal certain that will certainly be on everyone's radar. And it is possible to grow rapidly without health, at least for a time, for a season. I've seen so many people. I know when I was in music, I would see musicians who would, they would shoot to the top, if you will, have all kinds of success. But if there was a lack of character, usually it would always be a quick fall. There would be some form of something that would hinder the growth and the longevity. So it's possible to grow rapidly for a season, for time. But ultimately, like the plants from seeds that fell on the rocky soil in the parable of Jesus, unhealthy growth proves, if you will, unsustainable. And it ultimately collapses under its own weight. And an organization that grows that way, if you will, be a flash in the pan. And the same can be with our friendships. And yes, our relationships. When we concentrate so much on the things that need to get done at home, there's so many things that can distract us. And it's so easy, especially nowadays, to get sidetracked. We can all get too busy, right? Busy, busy, busy. Work, work, work. And you go, well, I'm going to ignore this for a little while, and but it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get distracted from, if you will, loving others as yourself. And guaranteed, the devil will try to throw as many roadblocks in your way as possible along the way. And I just want to say that's why we need each other as well. As the body of Christ, we need each other. Because we all go through things, not just, and I'm not just talking about our own faults, we all go through things in life that we need encouragement, we need to be surrounded. Why? Because God made us for relationship. Now, COVID, the past 2 years, has tested, if you will, everyone in our communion, in our communication, in our conflict resolution. Maybe financial management has changed, loss of jobs. I know for most people, habits have changed. And yes, even leisurely activities have changed. And I find that people are either getting better or they're getting worse. So I encourage you this morning, work to get healthy. Work to get better. Here's the bottom line principle where health and growth are concerned. Embrace growth, but pursue health. Embrace growth, but pursue health. Pursue health. Knowing that health is the vital, if you will, prerequisite and the cause and the sustainer of growth. So how do we get better? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to be talking about that all this morning. But again, I am just going to scratch the surface of this, and I hope that this inspires you in growing, in doing something, in making some easy changes. If you make one or two changes from this message, we're heading in the right direction of growth. I want to read 1 John 1:7, and I'm going to start by reading the NIV. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." And I also love what the New Living Translation says, "But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ does, then we have wonderful fellowship and joy with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin." I love that. We have wonderful fellowship and joy with each other when we're living in the light of God's presence. That's powerful right there. That's awesome. Now, what does that look like? I've said this before. I'm just going to point a couple things out. Daily reading our Bible and praying and connecting with God. Again, seeking the Lord's presence, welcoming into our everyday lives. I also want to say families or couples, boyfriends, girlfriends, I want to encourage you to attend church together and worship together. That means here, but worship isn't just here, it's outside as well. You can daily pray for one another and with one another. You can pray with friends. Find something that you connect on and just say, hey, let's take time and pray about this. Just like I said last week, taking everything to the Lord in prayer. And we can stand together and fight with each other in unity. That's what the body of Christ was made for. Now, for married couples, I want to say this, because this is just blew my mind, if you will, okay? This is awesome. And it was encouraging because you hear so much negative talk about marriages, okay? A Harvard study shows that most marriages have a 1 in 2 chance of surviving. And you're like, I thought this was supposed to be encouraging. But those who go to church regularly, pray together, and read their Bibles, this is from Harvard, they have a 1 in 1,105 chances of divorce. Never heard that before, have you? Dr. Phil, anyone like Dr. Phil? No, ever. anyway, okay. This is what he shared, okay? An interesting statistic shared by, he was interviewing David McLaughlin, and he apparently has a wonderful series on the role of the man in the family. And he said this, reported divorce rate amongst couples that pray together is 1 in 10,000. And that's a pretty impressive statistic, isn't it? Amen. You don't hear that on the news, that's for sure. Another study that I just saw showed that couples who attend church even as little as once a month increase their chances of staying married for life. Now that is worth preaching about this morning. Now I want to just mention a few solutions for growth and change. I once heard a quote that said, I remember hearing this as a teenager, a friend of mine's dad said this, and it always stuck with me. He said this, "Show me your friends, and I will tell you who you are." And it was good. It actually hurt a little bit when I heard when I read it. It really made me think about who my friends are and who I was choosing to have relationship. Because I'm sure like anyone growing up as a teenager, you make friends, right, of all sorts. And you have friends that of all sorts. That's as far as I'll go with that. But you are who your friends are. Yes, you choose your friends. Are they tearing you down or are they building you up? And I want to say, if you're married, surround yourself with healthy marriages. We've talked about mentors, individual mentors, but you can have mentors even as couples. Find an older or wiser couple and invite them over for dinner or dessert sometime. And don't just talk constantly. Take time to listen and observe. And if you will, ask questions. You pursue them. Pursue someone like that. That's awesome. Hearing of couples that are married, you know, 50, 60 years, 40 years, 30 years, awesome, awesome, awesome. We have so much to learn. If I had more time, I would spend the next few weeks, if you will, interviewing couples, you know, just to hear your stories, to get perspectives, to ask questions. But I encourage you to do that yourselves. Now, some of the lowest attended conferences of all are conferences or seminars or classes on marriage. And that shouldn't be, because we need to grow our marriage. We need to be constantly learning and growing. Jimmy Evans has one called XO Conference. I believe it's actually going on this weekend or next weekend. But it is... Jimmy Evans leads Marriage Today. He's one of the, it is the number one marriage conference in the world. And it is fantastic. You should check it out. But reading books, articles, blogs on the internet, you know, it just will always help. And I also want to say counseling. And if you need counseling, I encourage you to do it. And in a lot of Christian circles, just mentioning counseling sometimes seems wrong, you know. Yes, we need Jesus. We need to put him first. But there are times when just talking to someone, whether it's pastoral counseling or professional counseling, there's people out there that can help. And we need to grow. We need to learn and get better in relationships. When your car is damaged, you take it to a mechanic. If your tooth hurts, you go to a If your marriage is hurting, sometimes we need to take it to an expert. And it's good to do marriage checkups regularly, yearly. You want to stay on the offense and not the defense. Now, I want to say some people say they can't afford it, but I want to encourage you to place a value on your relationships. I've talked to many people, and I'm not, again, if you've been through a situation, there is no condemnation. Hopefully you know me enough that that's not what I'm trying to do, okay, at all. I've encouraged people. Anyway, we're gonna go on, okay? What I do want to say, and I kind of said this at the beginning, is I encourage you to spoil your spouse. I encourage families to go on vacation and in marriage to have fun together. And I want to read you something. Again, actually, this was in the Elmira newspaper, of all things, and it was an article from Jimmy Evans, and this blew me away. It was awesome. And so what I was going to say was, in marriage, I encourage you to have fun together. Have fun together. Research from psychologist Howard Mark was indicated that there's a significant correlation between fun and marital happiness. In other words, the more you invest in fun and friendship, the happier your relationship becomes over time. One statistic I saw, this is Jimmy Evans saying this, is that cities with Major League Baseball teams have a 28% lower divorce rate than cities that don't have a team. What in the world? There we go. Now, that may be because going to baseball games is what? It's fun. That's right. The more fun your city is, the better it is for your marriage. Now, we're going to move on. I got to move on. Next, I want to say God and His love is the only source of genuine love. So if you're single or you're wanting to be married, I encourage you that the Lord, you need to be 100% secure in the Lord. So many people say, well, if I'm in a relationship, I'm going to give my 50% and someone else is going to give another 50%. But no, before we're ever married, when we're still single, if you're single, I encourage you to live 100%. Be a 100% person. I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, but do you know what I'm saying? Pursue the Lord. Be secure in the Lord and who He is. God is everything that you need. He's the one who fills our needs and our desires and the love in our lives. And a relationship, when you're in a healthy relationship, you can do that together. Okay? Put God first. In the midst of any great relationship, it's inevitable that conflict occurs. And many couples that find that when they appreciate and believe in the beautiful words of 1 Corinthians, you know what? I'm skipping ahead. I want to say that love is not something that God does. It's who He is. So when you get water, you get wet. And you can't separate the two. The same is with the Lord. It's impossible to separate the two. When you spend time with the Lord, He's going to rub off on you. You're going to get wet. And God defines, He sets the bar for what real life is and what real love is. And I want to read this from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's awesome. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. Isn't that good? I believe that, if you will, that's a blueprint for our marriages. There have been so many times that I know over my life, I have sat down with the Word of God and I've read that full chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, because I go, I need to hear this again over and over and over so that I'm walking this out in the right way, especially in challenges. These are promises from God. These are truths from God's Word that we can implement in our lives. And we have to remember to align our hearts and our heads and our actions and be honest with ourselves. But are we doing this? Are we walking this out? Next, I want to remind us of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks here about the fruit of the Spirit. It says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. These are the characteristics that God gives it to us if we're willing to receive them. And they can offer a perfect roadmap even in the midst of chaos. They will help us through the most difficult of circumstances. They will lift us up in the best of times and they'll sustain us in the worst. I've said this before, but I used to think of them as different fruits. That's what the Bible was talking about. But it doesn't say that. It calls them all fruit, not fruits. It's not one, it is one thing. It's one fruit. It's not multiple fruits. It's not that we're good with some of these and bad in some of these. The Bible actually says that we have all of them in Christ. So when you don't feel like you have all of them, or if you're being challenged in one of these, any parent knows you're going to be challenged with patience, right? That's a good time to read this verse again and say, Lord, give me patience. Thank you that I have the fruit of patience through the Holy Spirit. It's a daily choice. Choose to lead a peaceful life. Choose to be joyful. Choose to exercise self-control. And it's within the power of each of us to practice all of these qualities. And if you will, apply them to all of our relationships. But it's also been my experience, again, that we need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us in so that we don't lose our way. Now, I want to read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And this is directly towards married couples here today. It says this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And in verse 33, it says, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So to all married men, I want to talk to the married men here today. Let me say this: you are made in the image of God. You hold strengths that are God's own heart that he has placed inside of you, that he has given you for the purpose of loving others, for loving your wife. Your wife needs love, unconditional love. She needs it like the air she breathes. She needs your love to assure her, to comfort her, to give her security and safety. So you will need to love her on purpose. You need to be intentional about it. Hold her hand, hug her, compliment her, encourage her, share your day with her. She needs to know that you understand her, that you will always resolve your differences. Listen to her. Say sorry when you make mistakes. Be quick to ask for forgiveness. She needs to know that you are committed to her and that you treasure her above all else. And also lead the way with prayer. Grab her hand and start praying. All these things and more will show her love. Amen? Amen. Next, I want to talk to married ladies here. You are also made in the image of God. You hold strengths that are God's own heart, that He has placed inside of you, that He has given you for the purpose of loving others. Yes, loving your husband. Your husband, just like this verse says, needs respect. Unconditional respect. He needs it like the air he breathes. He needs to know that you appreciate his desire to work and to achieve. You need to cheer him on. Be the biggest encourager in his life. Praise his efforts to provide for you and protect you. He needs to know that you appreciate his desire to be strong and to lead and to make decisions with you. Praise those good decisions. He also needs to know that you appreciate his advice and his counsel. And he needs to be close to you physically and emotionally. So I encourage you both, men and women. First of all, can I get an amen? Amen. I encourage you to always remember that in life and in marriage, you can be purpose-driven, but you also need to be presence-driven. What do I mean by that? I mean you need the presence of God, but you also need the presence of each other. And when we seek God together, we pray together, we talk together, it's not just about doing things. God's presence will always show up and meet you in all of the big decisions. And I want to encourage both of you, men, married men and married women, when you're older, always talk about how you met, when you fell in love, things you will always remember about each other, the good times you've had with each other. Always celebrate your lives together and always have an attitude of gratefulness towards each other. Why? Because God has given us a tremendous gift in each other, in our relationships. And we are going to choose growth. Amen? In ending this message, I just, as a reminder for Valentine's Day tomorrow, if you will, I just want to point out what love languages are. Have you ever heard of Gary Chapman's or read Gary Chapman's book on love languages? Yeah? He gives 5 love languages. One is words of affirmation. Another is acts of service. Another is receiving gifts. Another is quality time. And physical touch. Now, most of us have 2 of them, that we receive love. This is how we receive love. And in relationships or even friendships, many times within families, they can be completely different. So I want you to, first of all, you can go home and look this up because there's lots of information about it. And this is for, again, for any age, singles, married. It's good to know how you receive love. But then it's important to know how a friend or partner receives love as well. Because most of the time they're completely different. If it's words of affirmation, encourage them all the time. Acts of service, do things for them. Wash the dishes, clean off their car, leave notes for them. I guess notes is more words of affirmation, but receiving gifts, If receiving gifts, then you know, the I don't know where I go with that. Don't necessarily ask your wife for a Jaguar. I don't know. Or your husband for a Jaguar. Quality time. I think many of us are made this way. Spend time together. And physical touch. Holding hands. Hugging. Just simply putting your arm around each other. It's important. Let's not forget these things. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for life, that you give us life to live, Lord, that you fill us, Lord. Yours is a life worth living, Lord. And I pray that you would speak to each one of us, Holy Spirit, that we would receive from you, Lord, areas that we know that we can be encouraged to grow in, areas that we can get better in. Lord, if there's any convictions in our heart about things, Lord, I pray that we'd be able to walk them out in the way that you would have them, with boldness, knowing that you are for us, that you love us, that you are for relationships, that you want to mend relationships. And Lord, I pray for wisdom. Your word says that if we need wisdom, to ask for wisdom. So Lord, we ask for your wisdom in our relationships today. Yes, our marriages, but our friendships, our family. Lord, in the world today, more than ever, we need your wisdom in every conversation. And Lord, I pray and declare unity for us as the church, that the church would rise up and lead the way in this, that we might learn and grow. Lord, we ask for your wisdom. Thank you for your wisdom, for giving it to us right now through your Holy Spirit, that we can be led by you each and every day. Lord, that when we enter difficult situations, we know that we can be reminded that we have the gift of the Spirit, that you are with us through all things. Lord, forgive us where we've failed, where we've messed up. Thank you that you forgive us, and that you lead us in grace and righteousness. We walk humbly in you and in with the people around us. And we just declare, Lord, that we put you first, that we love you above everything else. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 I want to invite the worship team up. And let's stand and worship the Lord together with this last song.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Your friend comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing.